start reading in verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. If you got your Bibles there, if Jaden can get this scripture on the screen. No, he ain't getting it. Hope everybody brought their Bibles, because it's going to be real today. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, a lot of times we get into situations and we get into circumstances in our lives that we don't have control of. It's out of our hands, and we don't understand it. We can't comprehend it. We don't have the mindset for it. But what Paul is telling us right here in his letter to the Philippians is that if there is to be any kind of virtuous praise, I actually like the King James verse. He said, if there's to be any virtue, and if there's to be any praise, think on these things. So a lot of the times we automatically think the worst in everything. It's just our human mindset. It's our human drive to think the worst, because we experience the worst. We experience the worst a lot of times. We experience bad. We experience negative. We experience all these troubles and trials and situations, and it's an automatic mindset default that we think negative toward everything. It's an automatic mindset default that we think bad, that we think this is going to end bad on our behalf. But what Paul is telling us is that we need to think on good things. We need to think on righteous things, pure things, holy things, godly things. We need to think positive things, things that are working together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Not the bad stuff. Not all this garbage that the world wants us to think. Because when we come into a situation that we don't understand, it's out of our control, we automatically think this is not going to end well. But if we'll look at it from God's perspective, and we've read the Bible, and we know what the Word says, and the Word says in Romans 8:28, that's my favorite scripture, that He's working all things together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. We have to remember, we have to get these things in our mind and understand that He's working it out for the good. He's working, it may not look good right now. Your situation may look bleak. Your situation may look not too promising. And your situation may look not too good. But there's a big but there. A big but. But God. Your situation may not look, but God's intervening. He's working it out. He's working it out for your good. He's working it out for His purpose to line up in this earth. You are a child of the King. You are a child of the living God. You are a son and daughter and heirs to the throne of God. So you have to realize that you can't look from an earthly perspective and expect things to happen in an earthly perspective when you're a child of God. You have to look from a kingdom perspective. You have to have eyes that are in the heavens looking down into the earth. You are seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around. That's hard for us to get our minds to comprehend, because we're so used to what's happening down here on earth that we fail to get into the heavenly realm and to think from a heavenly perspective, to think from a kingdom mindset instead of this earthly mindset. We're too United States. We're too Americanized when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to living for Jesus. We're too Americanized. We've got our average Sunday morning service that we go to. We've got our average Wednesday night Bible class that we go to. We just sung 5 songs. We took up the offering. I made announcements this morning. Now I'm preaching a message. Nope, none of that was unexpected. Everybody knew what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, and how it was going to take place. But if we'll get into a heavenly mindset and start looking at our situations from a heavenly mindset rather than an earthly mindset, we'll start seeing things differently and start understanding things differently. We'll start experiencing things differently. It's not just going to be I'm a Christian because I go to church on Sunday morning. No, I'm a Christian because I live it every day and I see God working in my life every day and I see things happening in my life every day on a daily basis because I'm getting connected with Jesus and I'm starting to see from a heavenly perspective into my circumstance, into my situation, into what He's having planned for my life and where He's having me go and what He's having me do. It's not my will, but Thy will. That's what Jesus said before He went to the cross. If it be your will, take this cup from me, but it's not my will that needs to be done, it's your will, Father. It's your will that needs to be done. So we got to see the Father's will in everything that we do. We've got to, but if we don't think right, if we don't have our mindset right, we fail to see from the heavenly perspective. So Paul talks about virtue and he says, is there any virtue? And I looked up the word virtue, and Merriam-Webster says, the first definition is conformity to a standard of right, a particular moral excellence. Number 2, a beneficial quality or power of a thing. Number 3, valor, manly strength or courage. Number 4, a commendable quality or trait. Number 5, a capacity to act, potency. So the first one deals with conformity to a standard of right. And Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here we have the renewing of the mind. God's wanting to renew our thought patterns. He's wanting to renew what we're thinking because we're thinking the wrong stuff. We're thinking all the garbage in this earth. We're thinking we've got the stinking thinking going on, as we call it. We're thinking all of the worldly stuff instead of seeing from a heavenly perspective. So now God comes along and He wants to renew our thoughts. So He says, don't be conformed to what the world's doing. Don't be conformed to how the world acts. Don't conform to how the world does things. Don't be manipulated by the circumstances of your life, but follow in the footsteps of Jesus and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what Jesus did for 3.5 years. Was He took 12 people and he had them follow Him around on a daily basis, eat where He ate, sleep where He slept, go where He went, watch Him heal different people on different occasions, see how things went from a heavenly perspective, and He changed their mindsets. These were fishermen. These were tax collectors. These were lawyers. These were men who were in the world doing things in the world on a daily basis. And Jesus comes along and says, follow me. I'm going to show you a different lifestyle. I'm going to show you how to live a different type of religion. I'm going to show you how to live a different type of life in this world. So He changed their mindset. He changed everything that they thought because it was just a complete, total paradigm shift when it came to their mindset because He was doing things radically that not even the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these men were teaching them, all these pastoral preachers and rabbis and things they were teaching them. He was doing things totally radical and totally adjacent to what they were teaching. He came in as a paradigm shift, as a complete mindset changer. And He says, all right, now I want you to change your mindset. I want you not to be conformed to the world, but to have a transformation. Let that transformation take place in your life that it changes what you think. Conforming to the standard that Christ is starts with the transformation that comes through renewing our minds and the way we think. What sets us apart in this world? It is our willingness to rely on not our own abilities and strength, but on the ability of the Spirit working in us to produce the fruit of righteousness through us. It's not on our own abilities. We don't lean on our own abilities to transform our... We have within us the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Bible says that the same Spirit... I'll get my preacher coming at him in now. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. Come on. The same Spirit that got Jesus up out of the grave on the third day is the same Spirit that you've got living on the inside of you, and it's quickening your mortal body. It's making you alive in Christ Jesus. It's making you sit at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. It's giving you a place of power and authority, not because of who you are, not because of what you did, but because of the grace of the living God that was shown to us through Jesus Christ. And now that same power that raised Christ Jesus up from the dead lives on the inside of me. I don't have to worry about living right, because that power that's working on the inside of me is helping me every day of my life. I get up and I go to see Jesus, and I talk to the Lord, and I read my Bible, and I renew my mind, and the Spirit of God operates on the inside of me, and He automatically puts things in there that renew my thinking. He shows me a different way. He shows me a better way. He shows me ways of wisdom, ways how to operate. Most people today don't know how to operate in a level of common sense, don't know how to operate in a level of understanding or a level of wisdom, because they're not getting into that spirit realm. They're not getting into the one who has all wisdom, all power, and all authority. You have to get into the presence of God. So that's what separates us from the world. We're not to be conformed to what the world is doing. The world doesn't dictate who you are. It's your Father in heaven. And many people have failed to see who their Father is and know who He is. And because they don't know who He is, they don't realize who they are. And if they ever figured out who He is, they'll figure out who they are. And I guarantee it's going to shape the world once you figure out your true identity and who we are in Christ Jesus. Am I there yet? No. But when I really figure out who I am in God, when I really get my true identity and I see who Jesus is, really, I'm going to shake the world. You're going to shake the world. This church is going to shake the world. That's what set the apostles apart. That's what set the 3,000 apart. That's what set the early church apart, was that they really knew who Jesus was. They knew who their God was, and they knew who they were serving, and they knew that there was no weapon formed against them that was going to be able to stand. There was nothing that could... The 1,000 may fall at their side and 10,000 at their right side, but none of it was going to come nigh their dwelling place, because they knew who their God is. They knew that they were strong and that they could do exploits in this earth because they knew who their daddy was. It makes a big difference once you know who your daddy is. It makes a big difference once you know who he is. Once you figure out who he is, you got daddy on your side. You got daddy backing you up, and you don't have to think about, you don't have to worry about him not being there. I know, I remember one time I got in a fight. I was about 9 years old. And the boy that I picked a fight with was about 15. So here I am. I'm getting ready to duke it out. I'm getting ready to, come on, let's fight. So he's needless to say bigger than I am. So he comes over and he smacks me upside the head. I said, hold on. I went back to the house. I got my dad. I went and got my dad, because I knew my dad, he could kick some tail. Anybody knows East Cleveland? My dad grew up in East Cleveland, so it's Fight City down there. But I went and got my dad, and my dad followed me back. And then it was an all-out brawl, because it was a family thing then. It was a family. I had everybody out there, all the brothers and sisters, mamas, daddies, uncles, aunts, everybody standing out in the road ready to fight, ready to throw down. I knew who my daddy was, though. I knew my daddy would plead my case. I knew my daddy would take my side. I knew my daddy was bigger than this kid. This kid, I may be smaller than he is, but because I knew my daddy was bigger than him, I wasn't afraid to pick a fight, because if I failed, my daddy was going to show up, and he's going to take care of the situation. So that's where we're at right now. We've got to get our thinking right. We've got to understand
understand who our daddy is. We've got to understand where he's coming from and how big he really is. If we understood how big God really is, the creator, the maker of all the universe, the one who opened his mouth and light came out of his mouth at 186,000 miles per second. It travels throughout the universe, permeating every planet, every spot of the universe. I think Pastor Sam preached at one time that there's not a dark place in the universe that hasn't been touched by light in some way, some form. God spoke light and light came out of his mouth. He spoke the universe into existence. He spoke this earth and this world into existence. He created the trees. He created you and I. He created the animals. God is a big God. And the Bible says that he contains all things by the word of his power. So if we serve a God that big and he's our daddy, he's not only just a God that we serve, he's a God that calls himself our daddy. He calls us his sons and daughters. He lives in us, works through us, empowers us, gives us his spirit. My goodness, what are we afraid of, really? Why are we cowering in fear if we're living and we have a daddy that big? Because if we can really understand who he is, then we don't have to be afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid of the enemy. The devil has no power. He has no authority. He has no dominion over your life. Why are we really afraid of the devil? Why are we afraid of cancer? Why are we afraid of death? Why are we afraid of hell? When Jesus said he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he put his foot on the devil's, he put his foot on the devil's head and conquered that fear, conquered that dominion, conquered that authority. Our daddy is a big God, and he's way bigger than we give him credit for. Come on, if you, at whatever situation you're going through, whatever battle you're fighting, whatever circumstance that you're facing, you've got to realize that your daddy is bigger than that. Your daddy is bigger, and all he's got to do is speak a word. He doesn't even have to show up. All he's got to do is just send his word, and he can heal somebody. All he's got to do is speak his word, and he can set somebody free. All he's got to do is speak his word, and things start happening. But it all boils down to us really knowing who our daddy is, how big our daddy is. Once we get it figured out, we won't be afraid. There's not a devil in hell that can stop you. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. He said, upon this rock, upon this foundation, upon the foundation of who I am, because that's what he said. That's what he's asking. In Sunday school class, we've been studying the seven I am's. Jesus saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. And he asked his apostles, he asked his disciples, when they're walking with him, he says, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're the Christ, or some say you're the Messiah, some say you're a prophet, some say this, some say that. But then he turns to him and he says, who do you say that I am? Because he knew he had to get it outside of a worldly perspective and bring it home into a personal perspective. He had to bring it home to a personal perspective. He had to get them to understand who they thought he was, who they knew who he was. And once they figured it out, he says, upon this rock, upon this foundation, upon this truth, that I am, I'm going to build my church on that. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The gates of hell can't stop it. I know it may look bad for the church sometimes, but the gates of hell has never been able to stop. They've never been able to stop the church. Situations arise that the church was persecuted, people were killed, there were martyrs, there were all kinds of things happening. They tried to destroy the word of God. They tried to keep it from being printed. They tried to do all these things to stop God. But he said, the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. So we've got to change our thinking. Got to change the way we look at things. Got to change our perspective. The way that we act in this world is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. What Yahweh wants to do is to renew our thoughts by getting the focus off of us and onto Jesus.
Everything that we do with our hands, everywhere that we go, it's a reflection of what we're thinking before we do it. Like at work, I build sunrooms. We have plans. We sit down, we look at the plans. We think about it. We think about what goes where to put what door is going to go here, what window is going to be put here. Where does this support need to be? We're thinking about it. And then once we get it all thought out, once we see all these plans and we get all of our thought process figured out, then we do. Then we start building. And the end result is something spectacular. You know, you're like, I stand back sometimes and I'm like, I built that. Hell, that's good. That's a good looking room. You know, there's some pride in it. But it all started with me thinking about it first. Everything that we do. We go to the grocery store, what do you got to do? Got to think about what you need. You write it down on paper, you go to the grocery store, you get what you need. It's all a part of your thought process. Everything that you do is a direct reflection of what you're thinking. It's a direct reflection of what you're thinking. So you have to get your mindset right. You have to get your thought process right. Because if we can get our thought processes right, then we can get our actions right. Then we can move on to the next step in the equation. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Over there and read that. Says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. So the way we act in this world is a reflection of the thoughts that we think, and what Yahweh wants to do is to renew our thoughts, renew our minds, by getting the focus off of us and onto Jesus. Because what you focus on is what you become. You sit there and watch chickens long enough, you're going to start thinking, acting like, walking, talking, clucking like a chicken. What you focus on is what you become. That's, you hear all these success gurus, all these people who are talking about success, and Zig Ziglar and Les Brown and all these success guys who deal in sales and all this stuff, all these what they call it, positive thinkers type guru type people. But anyways. They all say what you focus on is what you become. Every one of them is going to tell them, if you focus on the negative, you're going to be negative. If you focus on the positive, you're going to be positive. There's a saying, I can't remember who said it, says, if you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. If you think you can or if you think you can't, you're right. Because it's what you're focusing on. My son comes up to me and he tells me, I can't do it. I said, I don't want to hear you say I can't. I can't do it. No, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Then I'm arguing with a six-year-old. No, I can't. Yes, you can. And then I have to step back and say, I got to approach this at a different angle here. I got to quit arguing with a little boy. But if you think you can, you will. And you focus on why you can instead of why you can't, you'll get it done. In business, focus on why you can do things, not why you can't do them. Because if you stay right here at why I can't, you'll never take the next step into I can. You'll never take the next step into moving forward in progress. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at as a church, as a body, as a whole, all across the U.S., is we're stuck in this rut. And we're okay. We're okay with just going to church on Sundays and not experiencing anything other than. But the Bible tells me that there is a throne room, and there's a God sitting on that throne, and there's emerald rainbows and flashes of lightning and six-winged creatures and all these things happening in the heavenlies. And I'm supposed to be all right with just coming to church on Sunday. The Bible tells me that I can lay hands on the sick and see the sick recover. But I'm just okay with coming to church on Wednesday night and on Sunday and not seeking His face and not getting into His presence and not worshiping. I'm okay with that. No, I can't be okay with that. I can't live a mediocre life. I can't look at God and see the God that I see in my mind, as big as He is, and see the God that this Bible reveals that He is, opening waterways, parting the Red Sea, parting the Jordan River so that people can walk through on dry land. I can't just sit back and look at that and say, I'm okay with Sunday morning service. It's got to be lifestyle. It's got to be mindset change. It's got to be something bigger than that. It's imperative that we understand that what we focus on, we become. If we consistently focus on what the news is saying or what the movie stars are doing or what the doctors are saying or what our bank account says. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen on that? If I focus on what my bank account says, I'm in trouble. or what the fad or new trend is. All of these things have without a doubt produced negative thinking in our lives. You watch the news every night, all you see is wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, tornadoes. You know, you see all this stuff happening all across the world. See all this negative stuff happening. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to you? You keep watching that. You keep focusing on that. Keep focusing on what Trump's done on Twitter. You keep focusing on what these movie stars are saying. What's going to happen to you? Because I don't hear a whole lot of positive coming out of any kind of mainstream media right now. So if you keep focusing on that, keep focusing on what they're doing, what they're saying, pretty soon you're going to become what you've been letting into your life. You're going to become what you let into your eye gate and your ear gate. You're going to become all those negative things that all these people, you're going to experience anxiety, you're going to experience stress, you're going to not be able to sleep at night. How many here has problems sleeping? Not me. Because I don't listen to that. I don't focus in on that stuff. I don't focus in on that because I've been there, done the anxiety thing, and I don't like it. I've been there, done the anxiety attacks and all this stuff, and I ain't going to have nothing else to do with it. So I don't focus in on it. Winter said something to me the other day, and she was like, don't you remember when this person did this and did that? I'm like, nope. She was like, you don't remember? Yeah, you remember? I'm like, no, I don't remember. And I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I forgot about it because I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live under that stress. I don't want to live in that anxiety. I don't want to live in those problems when the Bible says that if I can think on these things, there's going to be some virtuous praise come out of my life. There's going to be some reason for me to have a genuine praise come out of my mouth. By not focusing on what the world is doing, by not focusing on all the bad stuff that's going on, I'm going to be able to experience God in a different way, in a bigger way, in a better way, and then I'm going to be able to live this life better because I realize who my daddy is and his spirit's working in me, and I don't have to rely on my own abilities, but I can rely on his abilities, and I can trust in him, and some people may be trusting in Trump, and some people may be trusting in the United States government, and some people may be trusting in Syria and Iran and all these other people to dictate what's going to happen in the eye, in the view of the world, and what's going to happen in a world view. But I'm focusing in on God, and I see that there's a new heaven coming and there's a new earth coming, and I'm going to be living with Jesus, and I'm going to be caught up in the air to meet him, and we're going to come down, and he's going to have a 1,000-year millennial reign. I'm going to get to be a part of that because I'm going to get to see the one who saved me by his grace, the one who rescued me from a burning hell throughout all eternity of suffering. He saved me and rescued me. I'm going to get to see that Jesus. I'm having fun serving that Jesus, living for that Jesus. I ain't going to worry about anybody else or anything else. I'm just going to keep focusing on him. And if my focus stays on him, then I ain't got to worry about anything else, because he says, if you'll seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then all these things that you've been worried about taking place are just going to be added to you. Everything that you need, if you need a mama or if you need a daddy, his disciples one time was worrying about leaving their houses and leaving their homes. And he says, look, if you follow me, you don't have to worry about that, because you're going to receive 100-fold. You're going to receive 100-fold back. Every house that you left, you're going to receive 100-fold back. Every mama that you walked away from, you're going to receive 100-fold. That means if I come to church, I ought to find me 100 mamas. If I had to leave my mama to come to church, and I ought to find me 100 mamas at church to take her place. He says, you're going to get all that back 100-fold. You're not going to have to worry about it. You're not going to have to experience the anxiety and the stress of this life if you'll trust in everything that I'm telling you right here, right now. If you really believe it, if you really trust him, then it's not going to be an issue, because he is taking care of your needs. He's supplying all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Not according to my bank account, not according to your bank account, not according to the government, Social Security, not according to them handling our business on a daily basis, not according to anything, not according to my job, not according to a promotion, not according to a business deal going, not according to real estate, not according to the market, not according to stocks fluctuating up and down. No, he's taking care of my needs according to his riches in glory. And he's got more riches. The Bible says that he owns a cattle on a 1,000 hill. He says, I call you blessed, and you're blessed. How many in here believes that God has called you blessed? How many in here believe that God has made you a blessed human being? If you really believe that, then you don't have to worry about what's going to happen. You don't have to worry about your next meal. I'm not saying go out and quit your job. I didn't tell you that. I didn't tell you to be lazy all your life, because the Bible also says, man, don't work, don't eat. So don't take that to the extreme. But you don't have to worry about all the things that you need, because God is going to be there supplying all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. He's a bigger God than we give him credit for. Now, people might say, but the news is just what's going on in the world. That doesn't affect me. I've been watching the news for years, and I'm fine. How much anxiety are you experiencing? How much medication is this world on? This is a medicated world. And Paul's teaching us how to live in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. He's teaching you right here in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. He says, think about these things. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. And think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice. Keep practicing it. Don't just try it for one day and say, this stuff don't work. No. Keep thinking about the good things of God. Keep thinking about all the things that are true and right. Keep thinking from a heavenly perspective.
Keep hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you through the Word of God, and let that get on the inside of you. Let it get into your mind, and let your mind begin to mull these things over and think about these things, and you'll experience a peace that this world doesn't even understand. Jesus was at such peace that he was sleeping in a boat in the middle of a storm. Boat rocking. Disciples getting freaked out. It's the end of the world for them because they're like, we're going to die right here. This boat is going down. This joker is done. They probably seen wood breaking off of it. And Jesus back there sleeping. It's a peace that the world can't comprehend. It surpasses all understanding. It goes beyond our mindset. It goes beyond the worldly thinking, the worldly mindset. So we have to get our thinking lined up with what the Word of God says. We've been given the good news to break the cycle of conformity in our generation. This gospel that we have, this gospel, the good news, Jesus, the grace of God, the goodness of God sent to us, God manifested in the flesh, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, teaching you a better way to live. We've been given this good news so that we can break the conformity. We can break those cycles in our life. We don't have to bend to this world's idea of what human is supposed to look like. Colossians 3:15 says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. It says, set your affections on things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, because that's where you're seated. That's where you're seated. The Bible says that you are hidden in Christ. You're hidden in Christ. Another translation I like is you're clothed with Christ. He put you on. You're clothed with him. You put him on. So, when the world looks at you, they don't see Justin. They see Jesus. There's this preacher one time. He said, I freak people out. He said, because I'll be sitting at an airport, and they'd be like, hi, my name's so-and-so. And he'd be like, hey, my name's Johnny James Jesus. And his idea behind that was all the Muslims, they call themselves Muhammad. So he said, if they're going to call themselves Muhammad, he said, I'm going to call myself Jesus. He said, so I'm Johnny James Jesus. He was called, when the world looks at me, they don't see Johnny James, they see Jesus. When the Father looks at us, he don't see Marcos, he sees Jesus. He sees the blood of Jesus. He don't see all the things that you used to be. He don't see everything, every bad thing that you ever did. He don't see that anymore, because the Bible says he cast that into the sea of forgetfulness, and it's as far as the east is from the west, and he doesn't remember that anymore. So when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees righteousness. He sees justified. So that's why when the end of days comes and we're standing there and we're looking up at Jesus and he's placing, or we're looking up at the throne and he's placing the judgment on us, it's got your name at the top. But there's nothing there. Miss Sherry. I know we all have visions of what it's going to be like when we're up there. Most people see St. Peter standing there going through a name book, but Miss Sherry.
There you are.
Amen. It says, paid for by the blood of Jesus.
Nothing there.
Oh, it's been paid for.
You've been vindicated. You've been set free. There's no longer a record that's been expunged. There's nothing there. So we've got to learn to start trusting in Jesus and setting our affections on Him. Paul tells us to set our affections, our thoughts, our sight on things above where Christ is seated. He says, do not think only about things down here on earth. Don't just think about what's going on here on earth. You're here. You got to conduct yourself. You got to do work. I understand. You got to do all that. But seek first the kingdom of God. Focus your thoughts, your affection. And I wrote down, I said, there it is. This is the thing that brings us to the end of ourselves and to the new life in Christ. Shifting our focus from earth to Jesus, our affection. Shifting our focus from here to there and setting our affection on Jesus. What's affection? We show affection to people we love. We give hugs. We give high fives. We kiss our wives. We show affection to people we love. Affection, attraction, infatuation, fondness. Affection produces allegiance. Allegiance produces devotion, and devotion requires love. So, out of my affection, I have an allegiance to my wife. And from that allegiance, I am devoted to her. That means I don't go out looking for anybody else. I'm devoted to my wife. And devotion requires love. If you want to be devoted to somebody, you got to love them. You got to love them beyond all else. Because they're going to do things. They're going to do things that you don't like. They're going to do things that go against your thought pattern. I know I do it all the time. She's got to love me. Stick with me. She ain't paying attention to me now. Baby interference. But for me to be devoted, there's got to be that love there. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, how much do we really love Him? We know He loves us. That's proof. Golgotha, carrying a cross by itself up a hill, getting whipped, beat, laughed at, mocked, scorned, cussed. His robes gambled over, took a spear in the side, put a crown of thorns on his head. All of his blood bled out of his body. Totally exasperated itself, laid itself open, was filleted like a piece of meat on a cross for all the world to see. And He did that to make an open spectacle of sin and shame and judgment and doom. He did that because He knew that He had to make an open spectacle of everything that we were afraid of. Everything that was conquering us, everything that had dominion over us. The Bible says that He drug sin through the streets naked. That was something they did to somebody that was a crook, a thief, somebody that committed treason. They took them and they tied them to a horse and a buggy. And they drug them through the streets after they stripped them naked and beat them. So that's what Jesus did for us. He was making an open spectacle of the sin that we were. He was making an open spectacle of the sin and the dominion and the authority of hell over our lives. He made an open spectacle of it and drug it through the streets naked. So we need to ask ourselves how much we really love Him. It's not a question of how much He loves us. Because if we love Him, we're going to be devoted to Him. We'll devote our lives. We'll devote our thoughts. We devote our money. We devote everything we are to Jesus. The problem with our thinking, our stress and anxiety levels, our inability to see lasting change stems from our lack of affection and infatuation for Jesus. It really is that simple. It's that simple, guys. It's not hard. He didn't make it hard. It was already hard. He made it easier. Because all you got to do is just fall in love with the one who loves you beyond his life. All we got to do is fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with him every day. Fall in love with what he did for you. Fall in love with what he's still doing for you. He still heals. He still sets free. He still breaks chains. He still makes things happen. I don't love him as much as I want to love him, but I'm getting there. I'm still striving. I'm still pressing. I press for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and I believe that mark of the high calling is love. I believe it's love. Love that supersedes and goes beyond. Unless our thinking is renewed, we'll keep conforming to the ideas and actions of this world and fail to produce a life that honors Yahweh. Unless we get our thinking right, honor will always be an issue. Honoring God with your life will always be an issue if you can't get your thinking right. But you don't have to do it by yourself. If you take away one thing today, is you don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to do it by yourself. You change your thinking, and right here's your help. The Spirit of God on the inside of you, the Word that you have in front of you, get that in your mind. Start thinking right thoughts. Start thinking good thoughts, pure thoughts, holy thoughts, and start living in the peace of God. Stop being frustrated. Stop being so full of anxiety and stress. Start focusing in on Jesus. And we'll live in a peace that this world looks at us and says, how? How do you do that? How do I get that? How are you living in such peace when all this stuff's going on? Your life is falling apart. How are you living in peace? Starts with getting our mind renewed, with getting our hearts right. So let's all stand.